Hello and welcome to the Majlis, Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. I'm Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis here in Washington, D.C. In the face of lots of events in Central Asia, Kyrgyzstan has been so far quiet this year. But it appears things will be much more noisier soon, and it is likely to last for months. At the center of the debate is the proposed referendum on constitutional amendments. Details are few, but those who support the idea think that it will strengthen democracy in what it was once called the island of democracy in Central Asia, but the opponents argue that it will lead to a dictatorship, even to chaos and crisis in the country. Now the question is, what are we faced in the country, and what will be its fallout? To discuss the subject, I have from Bishkek Dr. Tinchbek Chortagin, professor at the Kyrgyz National University, named after Jusuf Balasagin. Tinchbek Aga, welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody.
Very nice to have you, Dr. Tinchbek. And joining us from Boston, America, Dr. Bakitbek Bashimov, who's a former member of Kyrgyz Parliament, former ambassador, and currently teaching international relations at the Northeastern University. Dr. Bakitbek, welcome to the Majlis.
Oh, thank you for inviting me to this.
Very nice to have you. And from Prague, I have Bruce Panier, editor of Kishlak Awazi, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog. Bruce, welcome to the Majlis.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you, Bruce. A member of the parliament from ruling Social Democratic Party of Kyrgyzstan supposed to be joining us today, but in the last minute she declined, citing some personal reasons. Anyway, welcome, gentlemen, to the Majlis. Let's start with you, Dr. Chortagin. We don't know much about the proposed changes in the constitution. You are there in the country, and yes, as a former journalist, very aware of the debate. So what are those proposed changes, Dr. Chortagin?
Initial speech, you told very important things. First of all, those who are implementing this draft law on constitutional amendments, right, they say that they are struggling for democracy, for parliamentary system in Kyrgyzstan. They are trying to increase the power of the existing parliament and the power of the prime minister. Mm-hmm. They say this is for democracy. At the same time, the opposition say that according to the law on implementation of the constitution adopted on the 27th of June in 2010, right, the constitution must be changed in some parts of that only starting from the September 2020. Mm-hmm. It means the initiators are going against the same constitution which gives them power. This is one thing. Another thing is, critics of the existing constitutions say that this is a very weak and we must change it even before 2020. I would say that in Kyrgyzstan, the society is divided into mainly into two groups. Right. One is for amendment of the constitution, another is for preserving the existing law until 2012.
Right. That is the views from both camps, Dr. Chortagin. But coming to the content of the proposed changes, other than the argument to strengthen the prime minister's position, what else the content say?
You know, I will talk only as an ordinary historian, and right, I would say that if there will be some urgency to change the constitution, then they would go drastically, for instance, to weaken the president's position much more than it was proposed by the draft law. They would say, for instance, to elect the president only by the parliament, and the prime minister will be stronger, like in the parliamentary democracies. But here, it's very slight change. Change is even invisible. I would say, if you compare the proposed change, if you will preserve those proposals until 2012, there will be nothing happen in Kyrgyzstan. I will say that this is, you know, this year we had nomadic, World Nomadic Games. It's very good cultural event. But the constitutional amendments is just a political game. But who will gain after this, you know, I don't say that even those who are proposing the amendment, they might weaken their position after the amendment.
Okay.
Because if they are challenging existing strict power of president after the constitution, it will be the same.
Mm-hmm. We will definitely talk about that, Dr. Short, again. I was thinking in the second half of the discussion today. Dr. Bashimov, my sense is that you are opposed to these changes. At least you have some reservation on some part of the proposal. That's what my reading from your articles. What do you see in the content besides what Dr. Chortagin just mentioned?
Actually, no, I am not opposing, and I am not supporting. I am as analyst just thinking about some very obvious things. But first, the initiator of these amendments, the new version of the constitution, is President Atambay. Secondly, the question is why he has decided to initiate these amendments.
Right.
And should find the best answers to these very important questions. And third one, referendum became the certain reality. And if so, we should just give answer after a deep analysis how these amendments and new version of constitution, if it will be adopted in December 4th, will serve for the further democratization of Kyrgyz Republic.
Right. Yeah. As you see, those anticipated changes looks very different depending on from which perspective you are looking at. As we were talking earlier about the lack of information on the proposed changes, did the discussion so far answer some of your questions, confusion in this matter?
You know, I'm still kind of unclear on. Everyone agrees that these amendments would give more power to the prime minister at the expense of the president, but it's unclear to me just how far that power goes. You know, there's a lot of talk about what it means, and if you read some articles, they'll tell you that not only is the president going to lose power, but parliament would lose power if these amendments go through, and you know, this prime minister would be the top figure. And that's, you know, okay, fine, we know that they're moving toward a parliamentary system of government. I'm sure there's some things that need some fine tuning in there, but just you know, I've seen in articles people say it's not entirely clear to me where we're going with this, and you know, what just how powerful will the prime minister be. And so I'm kind of in that same boat where I look at this and I can see the changes, basically what they're proposing. What I don't understand is just how powerful the role of prime minister is. There's a part of it, as I understand, means if the government falls, the prime minister is also a member of parliament, so they don't know, even if they didn't retain that post, they would still be in the parliament somehow or another. And I'm unclear as to what the dynamic is of that. If the prime minister would be immune to the government falling, and we've seen the governments, you know, fall and reform several times just since this constitution was passed. So, you know, what happens to the prime minister at that point? What kind of power do they maintain? Are they out as prime minister, but still in parliament with a possibility of returning at another time? And we've seen prime ministers in the past who have been in, left, and then come back again several years later. So these are some of the issues that, you know, that I have a hard time trying to figure out, is just what, how powerful is this prime minister going to be under these new amendments?
Can I join?
Please, Dr. Vishima.
I would like to continue what Bruce said, and The question is why Atambayev has decided to initiate these changes in the constitution. Generally speaking, in my view, it is the fear of the future. He would like to guarantee his personal political survival first, and secondly, he would like to guarantee the survival and continuation of his political legacy. For them, for these purposes, it would be ideal for him, for instance, in the next presidential election, to bring to power the president who will be completely loyal to him. And having the prime minister, which is very loyal to him, and having majority in the parliament, and his own party, who has 38 mandates in the parliament, it is, of course, the ideal future. Mm-hmm. But he understands that he cannot totally control the outcomes of the election. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we should just assume certain scenarios. First, if in the next presidential election, the president who came to power will be elected, and who all the time, maybe after 1 year or 2 years, he will start to concentrate more power in his hands and started to distance himself from the Atambayev. Because for Atambayev, it will be perfect to be the, some kind of a regent and to control the situation behind the curtains, sitting in his residence as an ex-president and regularly just receiving reports of president and prime minister, leaders of his party, and control the situation. Through this, of course, he can just provide the survival of himself, and because, you know, he positions himself as some kind of savior of the nation, as a spotless president after the first and the second president. And but understand that the total control on outcomes of election is difficult, and understanding that the opposition can bombard him with the tons of compromise against him, and with no difficulties can undermine his reputation as a spotless politician or president, right, he would like to do this kind of changes. Secondly, Bruce said that, it's an increasement of privileges of prime minister in the through these amendments. If we actually analyze the situation, we can see that, in my view, the balance between the prime minister and the president. But let us assume the situation that if the future president will change his loyalty to the Atambayev and start the new power games in the parliament, and what can happen? It is possible, even in the new version of the constitution, that his party can just be pushed to the status of a minority in the parliament. And he understands that complete loyalty is impossible.
Right.
Therefore, he will use in order to survive the second external factor in order to provide this survival. And it is Kremlin.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting analysis. Obviously, these are analysis based on what we know so far, and but there are lots of unknowns in this discussion. And that is a problem, Dr. Chortagin. Even the Venice Commission of the Security for Cooperation in Europe came out criticizing specifically about this aspect of the current developments in Kyrgyzstan surrounding the potential referendum on the constitutional amendments. So let me be precise. Have you had a chance to read these changes?
Yeah, of course. Even they published these changes in comparison with the existing articles in the constitution, in the existing clauses in the constitution. And that's why it's very clear to say pro and against about the changes.
Mm-hmm. How about the people who are residing in the countryside? Did they get proper explanation information on this?
You know, we have different approaches of the experts who are the lawmakers and lawyers and experts on the law. They are divided into two groups. Some of them see only positive things in these proposals. The others say critical view on that. But anyway, this is the main thing. It is not going back to the big presidential power, of course, but the main reason is just, to see the implementation law. It said that the constitution must be intact prior to September 2020. This is the main thing.
Right.
Some critics say this is going back towards the authoritarian regime. It is not true, I would say, because very small changes are supporting the power of parliament and power of the prime minister. But they are very slight changes, you know.
Dr. Bashimov, I know you have a point to raise. So Dr. Churtagin is saying that it's not leading to a kind of a drastic changes here. So what's your point?
From theoretical point of view, this amendments just serve to the more balance between the power of between the president, prime minister, and the parliament. But we know that informal politics plays huge role. And today in Kyrgyzstan, you can see two general narratives with regard to this referendum. The one group sees the future without Atambayev, and this is the small group of opposition. And the second group sees a future with Atambayev, and continuation of his rule by different means. And therefore, when we're asking why this kind of division is occurring in Kyrgyzstan, we should just think about who and how benefited from the rule of Atambayev. The large group of a population today faces tremendous problem with just daily life, because all these promises and expectation from the membership of Eurasian Union, they became really not so promising. And you can see the shrinking export, import, and the trade turnover is just really in a very bad shape. And the entire economy are not just creating hopes of our people. And therefore, of course, there are different groups of people thinking how they can just survive in the next years with the Atambayev and his group, or without him. And you mentioned about the Venice Commission, but Venice Commission urged an open and transparent public discussion on the planned changes.
Right.
And in my view, it was a very short time, and I can agree with this kind of comments of Venice Commission. But I think that even today, I would like to mention, even today, if we take into account the composition of the parliament, after a presidential election, they can change allegiance, and different power games can take place.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bashimov. Now, there is another problem with this. We are talking about a prime minister with increased authority. In Kyrgyzstan, we also witnessed that in every few months or year, you have a new prime minister. Considering this trend, what will be the consequences to the country when prime minister with expanded authority so quickly changed? What will happen to his agenda, stability of the government programs? What is the discussion about this aspect, Dr. Churtagin, in Kyrgyzstan?
If you compare Kyrgyzstan with Turkey, for instance, they in the past had much stronger power for their prime ministers. And it was okay. In Kyrgyzstan, if it goes to weaken the presidential power, it will be much better for the parliamentary democracy. This is for sure. But the main concern is about consensus, which was, developed during the month after the second People's Revolution. And this consensus gave the existing constitution. Now, if you change the main subjects of the constitution prior to 2020, then there might be some, clues for possible new opposition, that if they don't regard the constitution, then their power is also will not be regarded by people, by population, by by others. This is the concern of some experts regarding the attempts to lessen the power of president. We also must say that we had only very short time to challenge this proposed draft, and we didn't have another challenging draft constitution. This is a bad thing because it repeats the previous mistakes in post-Soviet Kyrgyzstan. All the constitution drafts were proposed by the ruling parties, and there was no option for another vision, another view, and people would say only yes or no to the single, proposal. Uh-huh. This is repetition of the old mistakes. Otherwise, if the future prime minister will be much stronger, it will be okay. But then we must eliminate the current presidential office. Now they are repeating the presidential office is existing, and the prime minister's office is sometimes repeating, and sometimes there's a situation which is a bigger boss,
I understand that there are countries, Dr. Çurtagin, with a strong prime minister, and then you also have countries with a strong president, still prime minister in office, like current France and former Turkey and all these things. Dr. Başim, if you want to jump in, please go on.
If we think different scenarios, power scenarios, we can see that amendments allow, for instance, this one scenario. If the future president will be strong enough and will decide to get rid of Atambayev legacy, and he is influenced by politics, he can initiate changes in the parliament. And theoretically, it is possible that our fractions in the parliament will switch their allegiance and just join to the new president. In this situation, the prime minister who will keep loyalty to Atambayev will be limited in his action. Hmm. But the most important thing among amendments, in my view, it is the right of the prime minister to appoint the heads of the local administration without the consultation and agreement of a local council. The purpose of this amendment is to open the space for the having loyal to Atambayev and the future his party president, heads of administration who plays great role in the upcoming elections. This is very important, and that's why I think that I mentioned the factor of the Kremlin. And in this situation, we don't know how the leaders of these factions and who are potential candidates to the presidency will play these games, and what will be the attitude of the Kremlin to this situation. We should we should not forget that Kyrgyzstan is the only country who officially opened the representative office of a Russian FSB in the country.
Bruce, you kind of left in the sideline. There are lots of questions, obviously, because there are lots of unknowns in this debate. Coming back to the Prime Minister's office, I'm sure you have some questions about that, like Prime Minister with expanded authority. You know, Kyrgyzstan must do something with Prime Minister. Obviously, that's clear because in the past 25 years, 25 people served as a Prime Minister in the country. So with expanded authority in one hand and Prime Minister changing so quickly on the other hand, what kind of question you have about the stability of the government going forward if this proposed changes are approved?
Well, this is the thing for me. Considering the rather high turnover of prime ministers, where's the continuity of policy going to be? If you have a prime minister who sets the agenda for the country economically in terms of foreign policy, for the next year or 5 years, that's all well and good. But if he's out after 9 months and now you have a new prime minister, does he then rearrange the way that the policies are going to be implemented or put new priorities on it? And that makes it hard for Kyrgyzstan to deal with other governments because you wouldn't know exactly, you know, what to look forward to 2, 3, 4 years down the road. It's not even a question of where Kyrgyzstan will be in 10 years, but you're dealing with someone who's officially the head of the government now, at least as powerful, if not more powerful than the president. He comes to terms with you. You come to an agreement, and then he's out of office a few months later. Maybe the next prime minister comes in and says, I didn't like that deal to begin with, and I don't want to do that. It'll undercut Kyrgyzstan's credibility in the international community to make deals. In economic terms, too. And, you know, I mean, an extreme example, but, you know, there's always this idea that Kyrgyzstan is being pulled, you know, by China and by the U.S. and by Russia. If you have a prime minister in power who is very well disposed toward good ties with Russia, what happens if a new prime minister replaces him in 8 months and he's more Western leaning or more leaning toward China? It gets to be very confusing then when you have to look at what's happening, you know, and how you deal with Kyrgyzstan and for people inside the country, too. If there's new economic priorities or new internal priorities all the time, you know, all well and good. OK, we're going to combat corruption and promote, you know, greater employment in the country. Then, you know, a few months later, now you have a new prime minister who says, OK, we're going to change that again. We're going to, put our focus on energy politics and try to make sure that everyone's got heating and electricity and all that kind of stuff coming up in the winter. You know, like I said, there's all of a sudden the continuity is all shot to pieces. And given Kyrgyzstan's history, you'd have to think that, you know, the president serves a term for 6 years under the current constitution. But there is no set limit for a prime minister. So what happens when the prime minister and the government comes into problems?
Are these things are discussed in the local media by the supporters and opponents of this discussion, Dr. Shurtagin?
Of course. Kyrgyzstan is a much open country now. And we have Facebook, we have different media. TV channels belong to the opposition politicians, for instance, TV September,
right.
And they are openly challenging these proposals. But I would like to add that Dr. Bishimov was much closer person to Mr. Atambayev, and he knows him better than but if we say all the time, if we will try to personificate the situation with Mr. Atambayev only, this also not good. I would say that we are seeking a system, and it is not like Putin and Medvedev and changing each other after one term to another. Kyrgyzstan is totally different, and Mr. Atambayev told that he will not seek another presidential term next year. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, he says he will not fight for his own person to be, following him. If he would say that somebody will be my follower anyway, it doesn't work in Kyrgyzstan. Because next year, it might be much complicated in Kyrgyzstan, and the ruling party and the ruling elite might not support somebody who will not be supported by electorate in Kyrgyzstan. I would say it is thanks to the much bigger opportunity for mass media, for oppositional view in Kyrgyzstan.
Right. Okay, these were the proposed, changes and arguments for and against the proposed constitutional amendment. Just to take a recap, the debate today in the Majlis Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, we are looking at the upcoming constitutional amendments in Kyrgyzstan and the controversy it is creating in the country. Discussing the subject with me are Dr. Bakitbek Bashimov, who is the former member of Kyrgyz Parliament and currently teaching international relations at the Northeastern University from Bishkek, Dr. Tinchbek Churtagin is joining us, who is a professor at the Kyrgyz National University, named after Jusuf Balasagin. And from Prague, I'm joined by Bruce Panier, who is the editor of Kishlak Owozi, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog. Gentlemen, once again, welcome back to the Majlis, a weekly podcast where we discuss anything and everything about Central Asia. So far, we have been talking about the proposed changes in Kyrgyzstan's constitution and various reactions in support and against those proposed changes. Main part of the debate has been so far where these changes might be leading the country. You know, of course, what is in it for President Atambayev? In this part of the Majlis, let's deal with these questions. Starting, Dr. Bashimov, with you, Dr. Churtagin just mentioned that you are much closer to Atambayev in the past. So talking about his interest in this debate, in this change, you know, on one hand, he is saying, as Dr. Churtagin mentioned, that he has no political ambition in post-presidential life, which is going to be very soon. In 2017, his term as a president will end. And according to him, he has no interest in coming back to the office. On the other hand, he is doing everything to make this change happen. Again, Dr. Churtagin mentioned on several occasions that there is an existing ban on constitutional reform until 2010, but regardless of that, he is going for it. So what is his interest in this change, Dr. Bashimov?
Personally, in the politics, the personal intentions, especially in the countries with weak public institutions, play a decisive role. And after that, for the, let's say, a president who would like to, whose term is ending, not to think about the future of his political legacy will be suicidal. And therefore, it's very normal logic, and especially in the situation, as I mentioned, with a very weak public institution, with a high possibility that the situation can change dramatically, and even unexpected factors can just provoke this kind of changes. And therefore, I think that for Atambayev, as I mentioned, his personal political survival and continuation of political legacy are very important. Secondly, you know, yes, it's about the freedom of the press, freedom of different kind of liberties. But if we look at what happened with the Kyrgyzstan during the last decade, we can see that, for instance, I didn't see, besides of a few articles in the international media, the deep analysis of the effects of membership in a customs union, Eurasian Union, on the economy of Kyrgyzstan. Only a few academic articles written in collaboration with the Western experts. Let's see how it will affect the membership of Kyrgyzstan in the World Trade Organization. How will it affect its textile and light industry, re-export possibilities, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Beshimov, you questioned how it's going to affect the, like, Kyrgyzstan's international standing. Another question comes to my mind is how will it's going to affect to his own government? Will it survive as it is scrambling already?
It depends just on the, let's say, level of the control of a president, the outcomes of the election, presidential elections. If one scenario, if next president will be, loyal, mostly loyal to president, and having the loyal prime minister, majority in the parliament, and of course, the majority of the heads of administration loyal to him, it's a great chance to just continue this rule. From our point of view, we should take into account the interests of opposition. They are thinking that, okay, that in the next presidential election, we should start the new page. And we don't want Atambayev to be to continue to be the decisive decision maker. And lets us to change this game. And of course, therefore, this kind of war of compromise against each other will continue.
Mm. Dr. Chortagin, the question that I asked to Dr. Beshimov is, you also mentioned at the beginning that this discussion divided the nation, you said. Also, it divided the coalition government. Do you think this government will survive until the referendum day? What is the level of tension there?
I suppose if even the coalition government will be, divided, it will stop its activity. For instance, the process is going on. It will not be stopped by this, because in the past we had some situation when the coalition collapsed and nearly collapsed. And they mended everything because lawmakers at the end thought about their political survival. And that's why it's a part of a political game. They will go for the referendum anyway.
Interesting. In Kyrgyzstan, it is not only the opposition or the political parties who make the decision. Like in the past, we have seen the Tulip Revolution. Other, what is the level of the anger or support or the opposition on the people's level on this discussion?
Usually, people are not politicized until the real situation. For instance, on the 7th April 2010, people were much politicized. Even though the opposition leaders were arrested, people were coming out to the streets and fighting for their own fight, for the fight of Kyrgyz democracy. Now, the problem of amendments of the constitution is not clear for most of people, because they will say both versions, the existing constitution and new amendments, are for the same parliamentary democracy. We have some politicians, former pro-Bakiyev, pro-Akayev politicians, who will fight for the restoration of the authoritarian regime, but they are not visible now. I don't know why, but they are keeping silent. It means the struggle is going on between both camps of pro-parliamentary democracy. This is a very interesting thing.
Interesting. Bruce, people are kind of confused, divided, government kind of scrambling. In your opinion, how this debate is ending?
Well, of course, we do have presidential elections next year. When I was traveling all around Kyrgyzstan last year, there was a feeling among many people that somehow or another, before the presidential elections happened, Atambayev would do something that would guarantee that his party would be the most powerful party for the Social Democratic Party of Kyrgyzstan, would remain the most powerful party and would dictate the policies of Kyrgyzstan. That would guarantee him both personal safety and also guarantee to a large extent that the policies that he's implemented so far would continue. So there was, and we didn't know anything about the referendum last year, but that was a general feeling. A lot of people told me that when I was out there, that he'll do something before the presidential elections. And, until they started talking about the referendum, it looked like maybe that would be wrong. But now that the referendum is coming up, it seems to be almost unavoidable. I think that this is going to be a problem. It's a lot of things that are being proposed. The proposed changes are not entirely clear to a lot of people in the country. And now when we move toward presidential elections next year, it's just going to be fuel for the opposition to say, if the SDPK is doing really well in the polls, then they're going to come out and say, the opposition will come out and say, we've been cheated. It was the amendments to the Constitution that gave them this stronger hand. And we know that the Kyrgyz people, unlike the other ones in Central Asia, will not put up with what they believe is foul play, cheating on the part of the government. So I don't see the purpose in holding the referendum in December. If it had come after next year's presidential elections, it would have been a lot more acceptable to me anyway, that they would have done this. I understand it's a parliamentary democracy. I understand that they want to firm that up and make sure that that's in place for a long time to come. But doing this one year before the presidential elections is horrible timing. It's just going to lead to all kinds of accusations of this being rigged to benefit the Social Democratic Party. And it's going to create a lot of problems next year.
Unfortunately, we have to end the discussion here. Unless Dr. Beshimov, Dr. Chortagin, if you want to add something, feel free.
Okay, thank you. For instance, in the U.S., Mr. Obama is openly supporting Mrs. Clinton,
right,
for the sake of their party's line,
Right.
This is a part of democracy. Here, Mr. Atambayev might also support some people, not only from the SDPK, but from his own camp. It might be possible, but it's political life, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Dr.
I think the future of democracy in Kyrgyzstan is so important to focus on the strengthening of our public institutions. This is the pillars of further democratization of Kyrgyzstan. And therefore, I think that if we look at the upcoming referendum, this referendum just, let's say, open, continue the debate. After that, the people of Kyrgyzstan and especially electorate of Kyrgyzstan become more mature and understanding of the political problems and making conscious decision what kind of choice to make. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Bakhtbek Beshimov, former Kyrgyz parliamentarian and currently professor at the Northeastern University in Boston, for your participation in the Majlis. I believe as things will evolve, we will be coming back to the subject again. It has been a fascinating discussion. Thank you very much. Big thanks goes to Dr. Tinchbek Chortagin, professor at the Kyrgyz National University, named after Jusuf Balasagin. Dr. Chortagin is also our former colleague in Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. You are Mr. Dr. Chortagin, so let me tell this from here.
Thank you.
And my current colleague, Bruce Panier, was also participating from Prague, who is the editor of Kishlak Awazi, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog. Thank you, Bruce, for being part of the Majlis today.
Thank you.
Thank you. So this is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Until next week, bye-bye.